thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Hang in there.
Here's John Williams.
We're going to get through this. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio till 3. Saturday, we'll be here from 10 to noon on social media. I'm WGN King John. We will invite you in moments to join us live on Facebook. We'll live stream this segment. Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It's going to say hi. And tell you and me how to best keep our homes warm and our cars warm. Steve Bertrand said he heard conflicting reports. Should you start your car and let it run for a while, or should you instead drive the vehicle around? He actually heard that letting the car sit there and idle is not a good idea. Although I've heard people who let their trucks idle overnight, they turn them on and let them keep running. And I thought, well, that can't be good for the planet. But these are extraordinary times. And yet, think about this. While we'll be in the single digits tomorrow, you did see the forecast, right? Friday's high, 22 degrees.
Well, that'll be great for those of us who get there.
Yeah, you got to stop that. I was reading. By the way, are we live on Facebook now? Okay, hi, Facebook. This is John. Hello, Facebook. I am WGN King John on Facebook. Maybe you follow WGN Radio on Facebook, but we are live streaming this segment as we bring Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It, in too. Lou, are you there?
Are you really on live Facebook? Oh, yeah, there you are.
Hey, hi, Lou. What do you think of my new glasses, by the way?
Let me see. Hold on.
They're kind of enormous. But I'm not real self-conscious about it. I selected them because I wanted a big, bold look.
It's cool they come with defrosters, too.
That's real funny,
you,
Steve.
Those are the same glasses that I used to have. You just want to be like me.
Amen to that. Let me finish this thought, fellas. Friday, 22 degrees. Saturday, you've heard this, right? Clouds and sun and 42. Sunday, 50 degrees. Monday, light rain and 51 degrees. It is right now as warm, as hot in Australia, South Africa, as it is cold in the Midwest. In fact, they are breaking the records there for heat that we are breaking here for cold. Here are some of the temperatures in South Australia. In Terracola, Australia, 118. At the Ceduna Airport in Australia, 119. In Grasscop, 120. I think the record high they've hit is 122 degrees. That's not the heat index. That's the thermometer in Australia. Mary Schmeek said that the best tip she's heard is to sandwich a plastic bag between two pair of socks. And that will keep your feet drier and warmer if you do that. The Tribune photographers have posted online their pictures of the city with the smoke wisping off of the tall buildings and the white apron of ice that we have on the lake shore. It's amazing to see the ducks dipping their heads in the water, fishing for food right, or something like that. But I guess my point is that we're going to get through this. Lou Manfredini is here to answer some questions for you. By the way, Lou, I also wanted to mention to you, in the cabinet above our microwave, we have frost.
Freezing.
We have frost. Yeah. There's actual frost in there. Is that unusual?
No, because, you know, the metal venting goes straight outside, and the convection is just coming and it's drawing in. So if you leave the cabinet doors open, they get a little more heat from the room in there.
Yeah.
That would be good.
I guess so. Yeah, we've done that anyway. Even on the interior faucets, we've opened up the cabinet doors just to keep the air kind of circulating any place in the house. Seems to be a good idea. If you have a question for Lou about what
to
do,
can we not turn the camera? Bothers me when I'm looking at Facebook. Can't we turn? Wouldn't you be better off if we turn the camera sideways?
Should we turn the camera sideways, Jazz? Ella,
does that do anything? Because right now I'm just seeing this rectangle. Wouldn't you be a wide load if you turned it the other way, or does that not work that way?
I don't know. Then will I be sideways? You know, this is a radio show, first and foremost.
I know, that's what I said.
So I'm not so interested in your fine tune. Everybody's a director, Lou. Just answer the questions on the radio here, all right?
Never mind. I like that better.
And our time is up.
Yeah. What about Steve Bertrand? Do you know much about this? Steve has a vehicle and they...
So we have a VW that's about 13 years old or so. Yeah. And probably, you know, Sharon's not going to drive it around today, but I suggest that she go out and start it, let it run for a while just to make sure it starts. No. She had read an article that said that's a bad idea.
Just leave it. I told people this. You know, I'm going to back up to when I was a wee lad. I'm the son of a mechanic. So I grew up in the car business before I was Mr. Fix-It on the house.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to take that car anywhere, the oil and the brakes and the brake fluid and all that kind of stuff, just leave the car. It's fine. If you have to go somewhere, you know, the trick is, sure, you want to start it up. If you're in a hurry, then when you start it, if it's an automatic transmission, you want to put it in neutral if you're in a hurry to kind of warm up that fluid before you go. But yeah, if you're not going to go anywhere, what did you say, John? It's going to be 50 by the weekend?
Oh, my gosh, 51.
Drive then.
Well, can you believe that?
But she'll want to go somewhere maybe tomorrow or something, though.
That's fine. Volkswagen Beetle tomorrow.
Really? Mm-hmm. Those cars are notoriously, they have terrible heaters, don't they?
No, no, that would be, well, that would be the old VW.
Well, this is an old one, right, Steve?
No, I mean, I think it's 2003.
Oh, I thought it was like a 1968 or something like that, which would have been so fun.
By the way, we both knew the article suggested against it, and yet we did it anyway.
Right.
Kathy has a question on line one, fellas. Kathy, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, Kathy? Hi.
Hi, John. I love your show. And Lou, I love your show. I hate getting up early on Saturday mornings, but I do because I love to listen to you. You're
Yay.
So educational.
God
Thank
bless you.
Okay. My question is, I have a single family home and my front door is frozen shut. I can't open it. I'm wondering, can I take like a DW40 spray or silicone spray? Do you think that might help?
Well,
spray it on the inside.
It may or may not. The thing is that you probably have moisture around the gasket where the door seals.
Sure.
Are you able to unlock the door?
Yes, it will unlock. It just won't open. I can't, and I don't want to tug too hard on the doorknob.
So here's what I would do. If you have a small space heater, place it on the inside of the door a couple feet away and just point it at the door. Is it a wood door? Is it a metal door? What is it?
Metal door.
Put it against the door about 2 feet away. Give it a half an hour, and I bet you'll be able to open the door.
Okay, and what about the DW40 or silicone spray?
The WD-40, you could do that. I would just put it on a rag, though. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't spray it. Spray a little on a rag. You could also do the same thing with mineral oil if you have that as well. And just wipe the gasket around the weather stripping of the door, and that should keep it from sticking again.
Oh, excellent. Okay, great. Thank you. And I'll get up on Saturday morning again to listen to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Presumably she'll be able to get out between now and then. That's kind of crazy. You're stuck inside. Yeah. Dave, you're on WGN Radio. You have a question or comment. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, guys. I love listening to you guys. I got a quick question. With this cold weather, I got a bedroom I'm not using. Should I keep the door closed and maybe turn off the vent? And same thing with the basement. Should I leave the vent open or closed?
Actually, I'm an advocate and a proponent of keeping everything open because, especially with forced air systems, it all has to do with return air, supply and return. And when you close off bedrooms and you close off vents, you kind of mess with the overall balancing of the system. If you want to close those vents a little bit, I wouldn't close them more than 50%, but I would leave the doors open. For people with second floors that are super warm, if you have one furnace in your home and the second floors are really warm and the first floor and basement is colder, you can close those vents on the second floor by about 50%. But leave everything open so that we're circulating all the air throughout. I can't stress enough the importance of moving the air around to be more comfortable. Whether it's ceiling fans or using a box fan in a corner, that will really help.
Well, it's tempting, but Lou says keep it all open, keep the whole house warm or warmer rather than having some cold dead spots for the sake of airflow. Okay, it's 1:18. Thank you for the call. Thank you, Lou. Stay right there. We'll be back in a minute. This is WGN.
Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
We are experimenting with Facebook. Jazz, are we live on Facebook right now? We are live streaming? Okay, that's good to know.
Well, they don't see you.
What's the matter, Steve?
If you're in parts of the loop, you know, the ComEd is dealing with some sporadic outages, and we just got word of the latest one is in the loop this afternoon. It involves about 400 customers, so that you know, that could be an untold number of people. The good news is a lot of these buildings are virtually empty today. But
yeah, no kidding.
The latest outage is in the loop. About 400 customers. We'll keep you updated on that.
Lou, you were talking about this yesterday. If people lose electricity or power, then they lose heat, obviously,
yeah,
right?
That was really my biggest fear. I think earlier there was a report in McHenry, there were some homes out. I thought I heard that earlier. And it's really tough when that occurs, because now no heat, no way to run the furnace, no way to ignite a furnace. Hopefully if people have a fireplace, they could perhaps light a fire and do something like that. But that was really my biggest concern. I'm grateful to hear so far that that has not been an issue.
Should you light a fire if you have a fireplace? I hear sometimes that draws more heat out of your, or, you know, more cold air into your house.
Yeah, no, Steve, lighting a fire is the worst thing you can do to heat your home, because it uses all the warm air in the space for combustion, and it actually draws it out. So it's almost like a net, because you do get some radiant heat off the fireplace, but you're better off to just, you know, a lot of people will complain that, wow, this fireplace is really cold. You know, a lot of people have metal inserts. Take a blanket and tape it up over the whole thing with weather like this, literally, to cover it up to cut the draft.
But if I have a fireplace, say everything else is working fine, and it gets warm around the fireplace, is more heat going up the flue, or am I getting more heat?
It's a net.
So it's even.
Meaning that you're burning combustion air that you've heated,
yeah,
which is drawing air, and you're getting a little bit of radiant heat from it, but you're not, that radiant heat isn't traveling throughout the home. So,
yeah, so I would say if I'm
so I would say no. I mean, yeah, my ultimately we have a gas fireplace in our home in Chicago, and lighting the fire helps to heat that room.
Right. Right.
But it doesn't help the rest of the house because it draws the hot air as combustion.
Which I was thinking, Lou, you know, sometimes you like a fire and you understand that this is cooling the rest of the house, but you don't care. We're in the living room for tonight. We're going to do this for a while and have a fire.
Absolutely.
Just at least, but I know the math on that. That's going to cost you more money in the long run, say, on your furnace bill, or it's going to ensure that your furnace runs more because you're not heating the house with that fireplace.
But if you're snuggling with someone special, who cares how much it costs?
let's see here. Henrietta, I'm going to take this call just because we're getting a few of them like this, but we've already sort of addressed this. Henrietta says, why can't I lock my front door? Is that right, Henrietta?
Yeah, I opened it to get my newspaper off the front porch, and when I try to lock the lock, which is a deadbolt, it won't, you know, when I close the door and try to turn the knob, it won't engage.
But the deadbolt will engage if the door is open?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So yeah, when you go to close, I could see it, yeah,
moving. Like when you hold the door open, you can move it back and forth.
Yes.
Can you try closing the door, grabbing the knob, slightly lifting the door, and see if you can get it to latch?
Oh, I could try that.
Yeah,
I can't do it right now. I'll try that. I tried using a hairdryer, blowing it on.
I bet more than likely it's the expansion and contraction around the jam.
Yeah.
And so that alignment of the door is now off. And so if you try lifting the door, putting your shoulder into it, I mean, look, our houses are doing some crazy stuff right now. I was in early this morning at the WGN television studios, and I got cornered by a bunch of people. Man, I heard the thing popping all night long.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people with vinyl siding and
houses
a lot of the synthetic
noises.
Trim. Yeah, it's just popping left and right.
Thanks for the call, Henrietta. Good luck to you. Bob had an observation, by the way, about our idea of letting your car run overnight or all day long or however long you need it to run. Bob, what was that? You're on the air.
Yeah, John. Just recently, I heard that Chicago passed an ordinance that said you cannot leave a car that is sitting outside running without someone in it.
I think you're onto something there. I think that's against the law in some places. Do you know about that, Lou?
I did know about something like that. I would say that I bet today they're not going to bother you.
I was parking in front of the Whole Foods last night, and I wasn't sure about my parking spot. And I thought, if the city of Chicago is writing parking tickets this week, I am outraged. If somebody is running into a grocery store or Target or whatever, and they're not perfectly parked, or I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
A, it's not healthy for the meter readers. You know, those people shouldn't be out in this for a couple of bucks. And we should just make it easy on the citizens of the city right now. When I get to be king, ain't no... And the temperature falls below... What's the number, Lou? If the temperature falls below zero, we aren't writing tickets.
Right.
We aren't writing
tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, free parking if it's below zero.
Why not? Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of...
That could be your campaign slogan. Look, you could jump in. I'll sign your petition.
No, I want you to run.
well, and like with leaving your car running, you're just kind of asking somebody to come take it in the city. There's lots of
that's why they don't want you to do it. That's why they don't want you to do it.
I think the ordinance is unless you have the like the feature where you can start the car and keep it locked. I think that's what the
remote car start.
Is correct. There any chance that I can ask a question? Do we have time for that?
Jump in there, girl.
Okay, so I have family members who are getting frost in the corners on their ceiling on the outer walls of their house.
So outside walls, especially in the corners, when you think about the construction of how a home is constructed, if it's a frame wall, you have two 2x4s that come together, and that corner tends to be uninsulated. It is a kind of a loophole in construction. And so because it's so cold outside and the moisture level inside the home is so high because dry air is on the outside, that moisture hits that corner. There's no insulation to temper it, and that's where the ice forms. Now, good contractors like a former Lou Manfredini, we would always stuff those corners with insulation so that you wouldn't come back and yell at
me. Is there damage
like
here, Lou? I mean, it's it'll dry up and go away in 2 days, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's long-term, it's not. I mean, this is, for your relatives, I'm sure, Jen, it's the first time they've ever seen this.
Oh, they're scared. They're like, oh, no, what's happening here?
The headline on the front page of CNN right now is, life-threatening cold grips much of U.S. Or that was the scroll on CNN. And I'm like, would you guys stop it already? We know it's cold. We know it's dangerous if I'm jogging. Shut up. We know. We're fine. You're not. The level of anxiety we're sowing is worse than the cold temperature is on people's skin. I swear to God.
Well, okay. I totally get that. But, however, real quick, I walk the dogs. I walk the dogs just around the block. And
it's a long walk.
And I put on insulated overalls that I have when I used to work construction. Very warm. All buttoned up. I had heavy-duty gloves. Halfway through the block, my hands, it was as if I was not wearing gloves.
Okay, then
I
fine.
Could not
then,
believe
and what did
how
you do? Then
was.
You came back inside. Look,
well, right, but I mean, if someone had to be out there, if you were, John, if you were like, oh, I got to go to work, and your car were to, you know, run out of gas, or you get a flat tire, and you just, well, okay, but people do dumb things.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I think my attitude is give people information and let them decide.
Agreed.
And mostly people are intelligent enough to know that 25 degrees below zero is a bad idea. Although I got to tell you, I was Ubering into work today with producer Elif, and we went by, and there are these passive-aggressive kind of joggers out. Literally, there were people jogging through Lincoln Park. Like,
that is crazy.
Look at me. And, you know, the only reason to really care about that is if they collapse, some first responders get, now that's their job today. So let's not do that to them, if nothing else. That's the end of my speech, Lou. Thanks for asking me to just go on about that. I am out of time, sir, and all of my phone lines are ringing. I presume you'll be talking more about this stuff on Saturday, although it's going to be warmer on Saturday.
Yeah, and if you need anything, call me. I'm here for you.
I'll tell you what, let's do this. I will read the text. You and I do a lightning round right after the news. Can you do that?
Deal.
Looks like we will threaten. Looks like we've got a shot at the record for the lowest high temperature ever. I believe the coldest high temperature we've ever had was 11 below zero. And unless it starts to warm up a little bit at O'Hare, we got that going for us. You cannot see me right now. I'm doing the hula, though. A little while ago, we asked you to join us on Facebook, and we were able to live stream some of that. I'm going to declare that first half hour of the show a video unmitigated disaster. You couldn't hear Lou's answers to some of your questions, and the video wasn't always perfect, but we've learned a little something today, and I think the next time we try this, it's going to be even better. Lou, are you still over there, by the way?
It can only go up.
The show, like the temperature, is going to go up.
Right.
Here's some questions that are still on hold. Steve says, I put a desk lamp between the wall and the tub, the laundry tub there. A pretty good idea, right? Some sort of heating element down there you've been advertising is a good idea, right?
Sure. I mean, the desk lamp. Well, I mean, a desk lamp doesn't give off a ton of heat. But, I mean, if it works, great. The trickling of the water can probably do more. We need. What I'm more concerned with is any pipes that are inside the walls. If they're exposed pipes on the heated side of the room, you really shouldn't have any problem.
Tom says the police say it's always illegal to leave your car running. I lived in Minnesota for a while, and I think it was 5 minutes. If you leave your car running more than 5 minutes, you are in violation of the law. But I suppose most of the municipalities around here have rules or laws that say leaving your car running at great length, even if it's locked up, is against the law because someone's going to steal your car, and now they got to chase them. Elaine says, is it too cold to do laundry, Lou?
No. As long as the water... No,
I don't think that's a bad question. It sounds to me like that's still throwing more hot air outside, moisture's coming out, that could freeze. No, you don't love that question.
I have no... If the water's running and if nothing is frozen, you can live your life.
Rich says, who should I call if one of my tenants keeps their taps off? He wants his tenants to keep the water running, which you've been advertising, a thin stream. What if the people won't do it in the apartments?
Well, I mean, you have to ask them to do it. I mean, it isn't, who do you call? You'd call a plumber if it freezes. I own rental property as well, and I sent a note to the tenants and said, hey, I really need you guys to do all this. And I followed up with emails before the weather came. I followed up again right before, you know, the day before, and even today to assure that everybody was doing that.
Hmm. It's right. I mean, who's paying the water bill? The tenants
No, the landlord.
The landlord does.
I mean, the tenants are via their rent, but ultimately the landlord.
Your rent's not going to go up if you are running a thin stream of water. And
correct,
Lou. It really doesn't amount to that much water anyway when you do this, does it?
It does. I mean, I'll tell you what, John, if you're running a steady stream of water between the hot and the cold water, I guess for the tenants, if you're running the hot side, you are typically paying for that gas bill, depending on the setup of the apartments, okay? So, I mean, but the point is, you're going to be really inconvenienced if the pipes freeze and then the, the landlord says, I got to shut off the water, and it's going to be, believe me, the plumbers and the heating and cooling people are really busy right now. And so having that steady stream, it is a waste of water. Try and collect some of it in a pot or a bowl so you can use it for something else.
Okay, Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, we'll listen for you Saturday morning here at WGN Radio. I appreciate you giving us some extra time today, Lou.
My pleasure. See ya.
That's Lou Manfredini. The Dow is up 404 points right now, and Phil Vitel is on line 7. Hi, Phil Vitel, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. How are you?
I'm good, John Williams. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. Normally, you come into the studio. Are you working from home today as well?
I am working from home today. I have a nice view of the desolation outside, and at least it's sunny. But, yes, I was out this morning to get my newspaper, which, thank you, was on the driveway.
I was
at 7
so pleased. My Tribune was out front today, and I thought, I know the lady that drives around early in the morning dropping off the papers, and God bless her. She got the job done today, man. That was amazing.
And I took my dog for a extremely efficient walk.
Yeah, Daisy went outside this morning on the back, and she pretty much looked at us and said, yeah, it's not happening. Nope, I'm coming back.
No, sure. My dog seemed to know exactly what needed to be done and how little time she had to do it. So she assumed the position like that.
What? How unusual is it that this many restaurants are closed, and what are you hearing about restaurant closures?
There are tons. The obvious answer is the weather. The longer answer is a lot of people who work in restaurants, especially in the back of the house, have a long way to go sometimes to get to work, and they can't get there. And, you know, I don't care how good your waiter is, if you can't get those dishes washed, you don't have a restaurant. Also, it's dangerous. So a lot of restaurants preemptively closed, just dozens of dozens, oddly enough. Up until early evening yesterday, I was thinking I was going to have to come downtown because I had tickets for tonight's performance of Hamilton.
Hamilton, that's right. I got the blast this morning. Hamilton's not going to perform this evening.
They shut it down, which is, which was a very nice thing to do, really. I had a reservation at a restaurant for pre-theater dinner. They called apologetically and said, we will not be open. This morning, the restaurant I reserved as a backup called me and said, yeah, we're not going to be open because now that the theaters are closing, there's no there's no business, so we're not going to be open either. The only loop restaurant I know for sure is wide open is Miller's Pub on Wabash.
Really?
Other places are keeping it closed. I know I know more restaurants that are closed than are open, but I know a few that are still open. Girl and the Goat is open tonight, and given the number of cancellations they've undoubtedly had, if you've always wanted to get into Girl and the Goat and haven't been able to get in,
right.
Tonight is the night.
That is a nice little tip there. Pick the 3-star, 4-star restaurant that you've always wanted to go to, and you'll pay for it, but usually you can't even get in on short notice. This would be a night to experiment. In fact, it's restaurant week. This is a kick right in the teeth of that thing.
Oh, this is a kick in the teeth for restaurant week. Even the people who made it into work probably aren't going out to lunch. And the restaurants that are even open, I can't imagine them doing a whole lot of business. I feel really bad about that for them. They had a nice weekend, from all reports I've heard. But since Monday, it's been too cold, and Thursday is going to be better, but not going out to dinner better, just staying alive better.
I don't ever remember this many things like this closing. There I was soft pedaling the cold yesterday, and then Jen said here. In Traffic Central, she says, I'm just reading this now. Lou Malnati's will stop delivery last night, I think it was, right, Jen, after like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and they're doing that again tonight. Like 8 p.m., I think, is the last order.
That's the email I got. They're closing at 8. They're stopping delivery at 8 o'clock.
And that to me, and then I started to panic. I went, now, wait a minute. If I can't order a Lou's, I understand that the restaurants don't want a staff and it's cold and so forth, but that's why we then hunker in and Lou Malnati's will deliver me a pizza. But that's not fair to the delivery guy or the guy that's got to get there and cook the pizza, right?
Well, it's a very dangerous time to get a flat tire or have car trouble.
Yeah.
And the car has to start in order to deliver the pizza. Yeah. So I think those two factors, and also once again, you have employees that have to get home at some point. And do you want to be sending them out on the way home at 11 o'clock, or do you want to let them get home when it might be a little less difficult to get back home?
Yeah.
And we're talking people who need to take public transportation sometimes, maybe have to transfer buses, Lord help us all. I'm if you want a Lou Malnati's pizza, my hat's off to them because they'll bring me one, and if I have to eat at 7:30, fine. That one Lou to go. And I will have. I can always put it in the oven and hold it at that temperature till 9 if I'm desperate to eat at 9 o'clock.
Do you have a favorite Chicago pizza?
Among the deep dishes, I'm a Lou guy through and through. My history, my wife and I held our wedding rehearsal dinner at the original Lou Malnati's in Lincolnwood.
Well, that's all the answer a person needs. My favorite video of the last week was a tweet somebody put out, and it's real cold. There's a guy standing at his L stop, and he's eating a slice of pizza. I don't know why. Maybe it was lunchtime. He grabbed a slice, whatever. But he's standing at the L stop, eating a slice of pizza. It's real cold, but it's got one of those overhead lamps overhead.
Ah.
So in between bites, he's holding his slice of pizza up in the air. and then he's chewing, then he brings it down. And then the tweet was just like, how we winter in Chicago. You know, we're getting it done, baby. We're going to get through this thing.
That is impressive. That is really impressive.
Hey, listen, you stay warm. I got to go, but come into the studio when it's warmer and you're working your regular shift, and we'll talk more restaurants next week, okay?
Happy to do it.
Okay, thank you, Phil Vitale.
Sure thing.
Read him online, chicagotribune.com/dining. They put out a print edition of that Tribune, and you can find his feature reviews in Wednesday's edition as well as throughout the week. Major Nancy Powers, Harbor Light Center at the Salvation Army Freedom Center, is on the phone line. Major John Williams, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hello. It's so nice to talk with you again.
I'm glad that you could join us again. I have 2.5 minutes. Tell me what the Salvation Army is doing for people today.
Well, at the moment, we have a warming center open here at the Harbor Light, and we have 27 folks here, and we are expecting up to 80 more coming in the near future. We're working with the city and providing meals for each of their shelters. And then we have mobile units on the streets that are talking with homeless people, trying to get them to come in, providing food, clothes, blankets, hats, gloves, scarves, but most of all, really begging people to come to the warming center or shelter of their choice, and we'll take them there. We'll provide transportation, anything to get them safe in these temperatures.
I walked to the train yesterday, and was it yesterday? It was this kind of cold, and I walked by somebody sitting on a street corner, as you'll often see in Chicago, holding a sign, but it was, you know, dangerously cold. I couldn't imagine how they were pulling that off. If we see somebody like that, do you have any suggestions of what we do?
At this point in time, I would highly suggest that you would call 311 and let them know where the person is, and they will send one of us, be it the Salvation Army, the city, out to check on the person and offer them services. We are begging people to come in, certainly to provide somebody with a hot beverage, one of those hand warmers. Those kinds of things are always, you know, Christian and warm and caring.
Yeah.
I would beg people not to provide propane to the homeless. There has been an explosion and a fire already today because of propane. People think that they're being really nice, but in this kind of cold, it's just very, very dangerous.
It's too bad that you've got to persuade these people to come into the shelters, but that's the suggestion, is to let's try and get them there rather than accommodating them on the street. And I understand and thoroughly support that, Major. Is there a number people can call if they have questions or if they want to pass along information, anything like that?
The best number is the 311 system, because they are coordinating all of us. They will get through to the folks at the city, who will call all of us. They know where we are and who's closest to the person they're reporting.
Yeah, really helpful information. We'll visit again, Nancy. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Major Nancy, you betcha. Major Nancy Powers with the Harbor Light Center of the Salvation Army in Chicago.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Wait a minute.
Here's John Williams.
Did Jen say what I thought she said? We'll pick it up there in a minute. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. The NewsClick's asking you if this is terrifying and horrible or an adventure or just plain old annoying. It will go away in 48 hours. That's nice. On all social media, WGN King John. WGN King John, that's me. And remember, The Mincing Rascals is the weekly podcast we record at the studios of WGN Radio with some smart news people. It was judged this year to be the best podcast in the city. Lots of texts coming in today, too, about the weather and what you're experiencing out there. But, Jen, did you say somebody walked out onto the lake a half a mile?
Yeah, so you know how there's that break wall about a half mile into the lake? Typically,
sure.
Those sailboats are in between the break wall and the shore. So somebody decided to walk across the ice, where the sailboats normally sleep, out to that break wall and hang out. And when he saw first responders, he waved to them, "Hi, guys. Yeah, hi." And they went out there with a raft, and they dragged him back in. And, you know.
I know what you're thinking. No, they don't need to do that. This is Darwin. This is just thinning the herd. If somebody wants to go out there and fall through the ice, that's on them. But that's not what we do.
Yeah.
That's not why those people go into the business of rescuing people. They rescue people even too stupid to rescue themselves.
We don't know what's going on in this person's life.
You've got to believe he's mentally unbalanced. And if he's just obnoxious, either way, you've got to rescue that person.
Right.
So, I mean, I do stupid things. I go out and run insane distances, and I do them in different temperatures and stuff. But, you know, there's a line. And you just go across that line, and walking a half mile out onto Lake Michigan just to see if we can is crossing.
I'm a little surprised
line.
To see the ice is that thick. I know it's crazy cold, but it hasn't been this cold that long. It takes a while for the ice to get thick. I would think. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think it's that thick. I think he got really lucky.
John, we cannot set the record for the lowest high temperature today, as at 3 minutes after midnight, it was minus 10. So officially, that is the high temperature of the day. And the record for the lowest high was minus 11. Thank you for that. John, here's a picture of my son, the lineman. He is working today. And there is a utility man out there working some lines. 630, hey, is this a normal thing? My window cracked from the weather.
Oh, my girlfriend's window cracked. She is in a high rise on the 13th floor down here.
Really?
Yeah, her condo window cracked.
You know, when I read this the first time, I wondered if that was a car window, but maybe it was an apartment or a building window, huh?
Yeah.
219, I'm big on conserving water, so collecting the water and putting it in my washing machine, and then I do a load. Those of you running a thin stream. Tip your delivery drivers if you order food, John, says 847. 847 also says Ramen-san in Streeterville.
Mm, so good.
Open until 9 p.m., and they are doing a booming business in takeouts. You know, I have mixed feelings about that because I thought, no, I'm not going to bother these poor people. But if they showed up to work, then you might as well make it worth their time. 847, my son is a night manager at UPS and just cannot believe that UPS is still operating under these conditions. 269 texts, we aren't getting much pity from John Williams because he's been through worse. Minnesota hasn't worn off of him yet.
People were racing through that today.
Racing
this morning.
Through. Oh, they
there
had
was a race going on.
They had a run in Minnesota.
Yeah, oh, the Arrowhead.
They
yeah.
muscled through it.
Yeah.
Literally.
815, think about the wildlife. This is really hard on them. 815,
oh,
you're totally...
Speaking of, yeah? My cousins have 4 chickens in their backyard, and for the first time this winter, they put them in their garage in a box next to a radiator.
Oh, in Western Springs?
Yeah, and these chickens are so cute.
Yeah.
They're so cute, and it just makes your heart melt. Oh, I don't want them to be cold. Our whole family was worried about them.
Birds, I don't know about chickens, but it's amazing to see birds flying around. And the ducks that are sitting there in the water, you know, paddling around to keep a little circle of water from freezing over. I don't know. God made them amazingly, didn't he?
I asked my husband today, I'm like, is that a bird outside? He said, yep. I said, is it dying or is it just chirping? He's like, no, it's just chirping.
That's what birds do. But you got to think, so birds can live through this, but you've got to think the birds must think this sucks. Or since they can survive this, do they, I wonder if they have the same sense of, you know, feeling about it that we do. If even if we could survive it, would we just turn to the other ducks and go, whoo-hoo, we have got to move to San Diego and we can fly. What are we doing here? Come on, George, let's go.
George, I love that.
Assuming the bird's name is George. John, you are totally right. This danger hysteria is causing anxiety. 847, John, I love your show, but sadly many people are not smart enough to protect themselves. You need to tell them to get out of harm's way. Okay.
But then they're going to think you're doing the media sensationalism thing. But
that's kind of what I try, and I probably err on the other side. I get to be flip about this and almost angry.
Yeah.
And I don't suppose that's doing anybody any favors either, so shame on me. But remember, 50 degrees on Sunday. In fact, Saturday, 42. Friday, 22. But on Monday, light rain and 53. If you complain on Monday, we're coming to your house.
I'm going trail running in Wisconsin on Saturday. It's going to be a sloppy mess.
Yeah, you're quite the runner, aren't you?
It'll be fine. Yeah, I am. But just not in this.
South Australia, South Africa, it's as warm there as it is cold here. Mm-hmm. They are... the high temperatures in Australia are in the 120s, 120, 120 plus.
So that is like 150 degrees difference between here and there.
Isn't that crazy? And I was marveling at that to somebody earlier. Imagine here on Earth that the temperature swing at the same time as 140, 150 degrees for some people.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, Kevin Powell's in the sports box. Kevin, so Roger Goodell just spoke, and he's a little late, but he's going to make him play that L.A. game over again, right?
He is not, John.
Yeah, we've announced that the Rams will have to play the, what was it, the Chiefs?
The Saints.
The Saints. Yes. Boy, get that right. We're going to make them play that game again on Saturday, and then they'll crank up the Super Bowl
not
a couple
gonna
days
happen.
Later.
Saints coach Sean Payton talked today, and he said he did what most people do when they're in mourning or depressed. He said he sat in his room and watched Netflix and ate ice cream for 3 days before he reemerged.
Well, is the NFL a little late to the game on this? I mean, shouldn't they have put out a statement 24 hours later?
Well, the officiating heads did. They came out and fully admitted that the call was blown. But Roger Goodell hadn't talked yet. So Roger Goodell, I'm assuming, was just waiting for this as the State of the NFL address that he held in Atlanta today. But, you know, Goodell is sort of enemy number one for most football fans. Most people don't like him. He basically defended the refs. He didn't defend that particular call, but he defended officiating as a whole in the NFL and, you know, basically said, look, they're human. They're going to make mistakes.
That's my attitude. There's no bad guys here. The fix wasn't in. I mean,
no.
Guys who did not want to be that wrong somehow were that wrong.
Yeah, I think the big question now is how do they address these sorts of situations moving forward? Everybody wants them to be able to review or challenge and replay.
What do you think of that?
Judgmental call.
That is so fixable to me. Absolutely.
It is, but I don't think it's as easy as people think it is. Everyone's like, oh, it's easy. Just let them challenge it. It's a slippery slope. I think that the challenges for those sorts of calls, there needs to be an official that is dedicated.
Right.
In the booth, right. Whether it's at the stadium, or a guy who, just like the rest of us, sitting in front of our 60-inch TVs on our couch on a Sunday, are screaming at the TV because it's blatant and it's obvious. Why can't they just buzz in the official and say, look, you blew it, go back to the...
Everybody else knows, but the only people whose knowledge about that matters. It's crazy that the planet knew and the officials right. didn't. And it's funny because, do you remember, was it the U.S. Open? What was the major golf event where somebody saw a golfer illegally move the ball or his score
there
didn't
was reflect? That, and then Dustin Johnson at the PGA up yeah. in Wisconsin a few years ago, he grounded his club.
And they
the
played,
sand,
and somebody at home.
Yes. The PGA, by the way, has eliminated that because there are people at our home. And there was somebody who got on the LPGA who got in trouble because she used weights on her club to warm up, kind of like a donut on a baseball bat where
you put
a heavy. And you're not allowed to do that. It's gotten a little bit out of control, and the PGA has kind of moved. They've put some more different sort of rules in to kind of change that. But, I just think that the question now in the NFL is, will you be able to challenge these replays or judgment calls is what they're calling them?
Well, you can call it whatever you want. Yeah. Let's just get it right. And when it's that apparent to everybody but the officials.
Can't someone just walk on the field and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Everybody stop. Like a member of the officiating crew. Everybody hold on.
Oh, right. Like if they ought to have a decibel meter, and if the crowd goes whoa loud enough, you know that the officials hear that. And they know that, well, the crowds tend to be partisan, right? I mean, if it's a home crowd, they're going to love or hate a call, depending on if it goes for their team. But there are times where I'm sure the officials know, based on the reaction from the crowd, and they don't have a recourse.
Well, and even the Rams cornerback who hit the receiver was sort of looking around like, okay.
We're cool.
And he admitted that he thought it was pass interference.
Oh, hell yeah.
So.
Hell yeah. You kidding me? You can't play the game if you don't know the rules.
Right.
It's 2:19. All right, so Goodell spoke, and he said, yeah, we'll work on it, but there's nothing we can do. I'm not going to use the extraordinary power I have to make them replay the game. Shocked. I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. It's 2:19. By the way, who was it that said that they just hunkered down and watched Netflix and ate ice cream?
That was the Saints head coach, Sean Payton.
I want to do this. We promoted that we would, so let's do this for a minute. Bingeable shows. If you are hunkered down today, maybe tomorrow, the weekend's around the corner, what are the good January, February series or TV shows, current or past, that are really good to just sit down and watch, to binge watch? I want to hear your recommendations. You can recommend one or two. Producer Aleph, did you get a chance to look up what the most bingeable TV show is?
According to Thrillist, The Good Fight from CBS All Access.
Huh. That's their number one show? That's the number one bingeable show according to Thrillist?
That's what I said, John.
All right. I actually saw that list. I don't know that I agree with that because I haven't seen that show. But let me give you mine, and you give me yours. 312-981-7200 WGN. That Thrillist list is interesting because when you look at various bingeable TV lists, sometimes it's just the network list. Or Matt Rausch's list was network. It was network TV. Some of them are Netflix. Some of them depend on the site. But the binge-worthy Thrillist list kind of crossed a lot of platforms. And when I went through that, these are the shows that I'll recommend to you. If you want something that's fun and funny, I'm going to say Silicon Valley. Watch that beginning to end. It's about life in the Silicon Valley with a bunch of entrepreneurs who are trying to make a go of it.
Good show.
Really smart guys, really funny characters, and I get the sense it rings really true. Silicon Valley. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel now has two seasons in the can, and everybody that watches that loves it, including me. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I was going to say, it sounded like you didn't.
I did. The Good Place, every time I watch The Good Place, I think that show is so clever, especially for network TV. The effects, the writing, the language, the acting, I think it's all great. I have not watched as much of it as I'm sounding like I have, right? Every time I've seen it, I've never been disappointed. I haven't watched a whole season, but I've skipped around and seen episodes, and I think that is so fun. I don't know why I haven't gotten around to watching that. Maybe if I weren't here, I'd be binging through The Good Place.
I have a comment on that.
What's that?
I got through, I think, the second
Good
and
season?
Third maybe season, and I dropped off. Sorry to say it.
Doesn't happen for you, huh?
I just kind of lost interest. I don't know why. It's just a thing that happens psychologically. You're no longer interested.
Did you guys watch American Vandal?
No.
Power through that?
I watched a couple of those maybe.
Oh, yeah. No?
Didn't
really?
Quite get me,
that
no.
Didn't stick? I think that is such a good parody. Very funny. You know, it's operating on two levels, and I don't think it misses a beat. Barry, did you watch Barry at all?
Love Barry.
So I've segued now from shows that are kind of fun and funny to shows that Barry is fun and funny at times, but William Hader is a serial killer or a contract killer. He's a contract killer who wants to go into acting, and his acting coach becomes Henry Winkler. And it's light. That's a light touch, but there are times where it's startlingly violent. Do you know what I mean, Steve? You agree with me on that? Barry?
Yeah, it's funny in a quirky sort of way.
Yeah.
It definitely goes for funny.
Better Call Saul maybe sort of has the same vibe at times.
I got a buddy who wants me to watch that. I just can't get into it.
You're kidding.
I know.
And it's about to. It's getting very close to where it finally meets Breaking Bad. So I think it's four seasons now, and you keep thinking, okay, when does Saul finally become the heroin, the meth attorney? And that hasn't happened yet.
Because he started as a good guy, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it takes a while for them. You're like, how did he get to be this way? Especially when you find out what a sweet good guy he was.
Yeah, that same friend has tried for years for me to get me to watch Breaking Bad, and I never did, so.
Oh, well, then all your problems are solved. You can just sit down and watch Breaking Bad and then watch Better Call Saul.
It's over, huh?
You will not be disappointed, Steve. Okay, Sharp Objects. Now, in the sort of thriller, psychological drama camp, I'm going to put Sharp Objects, Killing Eve, The Americans. I'll put those three. Those are three series that I've really enjoyed. Sharp Objects, Killing Eve, and The Americans. Of those, I would say Killing Eve is the one that captivated me the most. I thought that thing was really good, Killing Eve. Billions and Successions get a lot of hits on these lists. I should be mentioning the networks. And you know what I'll do is, I've already got it on my computer. I'll post this on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. And I'll give you this list of my suggestions, Billions and Suggestions. And then if you just want to go back and do old school, just say, okay, let's just go back and watch something that we know we'll like. Mad Men, West Wing. Boom. Boom. You've got a week right there. Mad Men and West Wing. Lots of episodes for lots of seasons. And I don't know how you can go wrong with those. Every now and then we find ourselves watching a Mad Men episode, and we've seen them all, and we so enjoy watching them again. You know, for the memories, for the plot line, where are they, and for the clothes? Good grief. Okay, there's my suggestions. How about yours? After the news, 229 WGN.
Remember spring, swamp, snow for leaves. You'll be...
Chris Jones, the theater critic at the Chicago Tribune, tweeted out both Wednesday performances of At Hamilton Musical in Chicago are off, just announced. You've probably heard that. And then he tweeted, Aaron Burr, sir. And they got 507 likes. Aaron Burr, sir.
My hand told
I'm WGN King John on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I tweeted out a screen grab of the next 4 days forecast, and it's the most encouraging thing you will see on Twitter. Yeah, it's going to be really cold for the next 36 hours, and then it's going to get really, really warm. It's weird, isn't it? You think that the reset would be 20 degrees, not 51, 52 degrees by Monday.
Well, it'll take us a few days to get there, though. I mean, low 20s on Friday, mid to upper 30s on Saturday.
Well, that's how you get there from here. But, I mean, if it was, I would settle for 30. I would settle for 22.
I can't wait for Friday's 28 degrees.
By the way, you mentioned in I'm going to pick up some phone lines here in a second, Steve. 312-981-7200. Since you're not working or working from home, what are you watching? What's good binge TV? But before we get to that, Kevin had a question for you, Steve Bertrand. Let's go to WGN Radio Sports. Here's Kevin Powell.
I just think there should be a friendly wager between you two. I know you guys have been cordial today. You've been nice with the Marquette Golden Eagles visiting the Butler Bulldogs tonight. There hasn't been much trash talk. I'm thinking a friendly wager, or maybe a not-so-friendly wager.
The Butler Bulldogs are really hard to beat at home. They can't shoot straight these days, and they're off right now. We're a lot of us very disappointed in how the team's trending.
Marquette's won 7 straight conference games, but Butler's beaten the Golden Eagles 5 straight times.
And Marquette hasn't had, or where they fumbled has been on the road, so.
They're 10th in the country, 7-1 in the conference, 18-3. Yeah.
Do you have a line on this game, Kev? Do you know what the smart people are saying?
I think Butler's given 2.5, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
But
we are not playing well right now.
2.5?
Yeah, it's 2.5, Butler.
At home.
Yeah, that's not much to playing a number 10 team, unranked.
Oh, really? Well, if you guys are that good, then let's go ahead.
No, I'm saying that's why I think I don't want to take this bet.
I think something not too serious, like loser has to jump in the river.
Let's do that. The loser has to jump in the river tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Gotta be one of those things. We're here at the river where John Williams is watching Steve Bertrand jump into the river as part of a friendly wager.
So I'm looking at ESPN.com.
That was my announcer
where
guy.
They have those winner predictors. I don't understand quite how they do that.
Yeah.
They've got the Butler going at 57.2%.
Yeah, that means nothing to me.
It should be a good one.
Early right. start.
Let's defer to Kevin. Kevin, your prediction for the game?
I'll go Butler Bulldogs here.
I'm closer to you, Kevin.
What, are you going to go hit him? You're going to punch him? What are we hearing about DePaul tonight in Loyola, a couple of other Buckeball games these days?
Yeah, DePaul gets Villanova. Villanova's undefeated in conference play, but DePaul's been
DePaul
pretty good this
can
year.
Can play with anybody.
Yeah, most of the losses this year have come by single digits or very tight games.
What happened to Villanova, man? Because they were really struggling at the start of the season.
They were.
You know, they were ranked high. Then they lost to, like, a Wofford or somebody, or Hamilton.
And they got crushed in the Big Ten Challenge.
Right. And so then people said, oh, maybe Villanova's not all that. And then they've just had a nice run since.
Yeah, they've won 8 straight games, 16-4 on the year, and they're all the way up to number 14 in the country. But DePaul's, like, relevant again. At least they're putting up fights. I love seeing DePaul. Because when I was growing up, DePaul was... I mean, for a lot of people back in the day, they were a dominant program nationally. But even for me, I saw them play in the tournament last time and fell in love with that basketball program. So I just want DePaul to be good.
All right. Steve doesn't want to take it, so I guess we don't have a wager.
Like, how about loser buys, like, coffee? Can
there you go. There you go.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Loser buys, and let's just make it even. No points. I can't follow that. Just whoever wins the damn game is the winner.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Straight up. You know, the points would help you here, John.
I know. that's okay. I'm virtuous.
All right, straight
I
up.
I feel this way.
Straight up.
Someday my team is going to have the advantage, but I'm not going to ask or take points or whatever. I'm just going to say, fine, let's just do whoever's the winner wins.
Good luck to both of you.
Well, that's a dumb thing to say.
You can't have it both ways.
All right, go Bulldogs.
312-981-7200. I asked you for recommendations, good shows to binge watch, especially if you go back a little bit. That's kind of fun, too. I mean, that's what Karen's doing online, too. Hey, Karen, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I am, well, I'm actually sick, which is perfect for my 2 days home here. No school for the next 2 days, so I'll just be able to get better these next 2 days. But what about Boston Legal? I know it started like 15 years ago, I believe. But
William Shatner and
yes, I can't even think of who it was. William Shatner and gosh, Alan Shore. I don't know who that was, though.
I'll get it.
James Spader?
Hold on. James Spader. Ding, 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 ding. James Spader.
Yes, yes. And it was so informational, but it was also so darn funny.
What's the line? What's the line that comes to your mind when I say Boston Legal?
Well, so many things, but the very first show was James Spader, who is Alan Shore. He walks into this Boston Legal firm, and he decides, you know, he's brand new, and he decides he wants the front and center space at the conference table. So while everybody's getting coffee, he shoves the person, all their belongings, down the table, down the conference table, and he takes the first space. And the guy says, "I'm sorry, that was my space." And he goes, "Yes, I guess it was." he was up getting coffee. But then he goes to the Supreme Court towards the very end. It's so informational, things that made me more curious too, and want to look things up.
They do,
about our history,
right? They did touch
America.
On genuine legal issues, but when I think
yes.
of Boston Legal, I just think mad cow disease.
Yes, yes, yes. But they were so darn funny
yeah.
with all of it.
No, and the characters were so bizarre and had such great affection for each other. These two men. It was so sweet. I love that show, Boston.
Yes.
League. And by the way,
yes,
our texters yes. just texted in. 708 says, "Hey, King John, you need to add Boston Legal to the old standbys."
Yes.
Thank you.
And you know, the libraries, just so you know, I mean, a lot of the libraries are probably closed, but they have all these DVDs. So you can request them, and at least for the suburban libraries, they have all of this stuff. They even have, like, Victoria, the new mm-hmm. Thing on PBS. I requested that because I couldn't get enough of that. That's only in its third season on PBS. But you request it, and they can get it for you.
All right, so there's a couple good recommendations from Karen. I got to run, Karen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well done. Bye now. Let's go from Karen to, let's try Barbara. Barbara, you're on WGN. What are you recommending? Hi.
Well, first of all, I forgot about Boston Legal. I used to love that show.
It is so
but
fun.
I can't believe nobody has mentioned. I'm going to put an initial in S. Creek.
Elif was recommending that on yesterday's show, and she said, "Can I say this?" And I said, "No."
Yeah, when we were on the phone, Barbara and I kept saying, "It's S Creek, S Creek." Don't accidentally say the word.
I saw this on the screen. I thought, "Oh, she's going to recommend Dawson's Creek." No, it's not. She's recommending S C H I T Z. Is that how they spell it in the series?
No, it's S
C H
I T S
E T S.
And the last S is a dollar sign. You got to watch the show to find out why.
I hear it's
such
hilarious.
The characters, I can't get enough of it.
Catherine O'Hara.
How about that? Barbara, thank you for the call. We're going from line 3 to Anne. You're on WGN. What are you loving? What's a good binge for us on a cold day, Anne?
Stranger Things. Got to watch it.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Shameless, by the way? I saw that on the screen, too.
Actually, I was calling in about Shameless and Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad definitely is my top one. Shameless, I think, was after that, and then Stranger Things.
We loved
definitely
those shows.
Breaking Bad was so scary that, like, when my husband was watching it, I couldn't even stand what they were doing on the TV. Like, it was, like, creepy, you know, like making meth or whatever the heck they were doing. And that the craziness in that show, it was just, like, I couldn't stomach it. Finally, one day, I just sat down and I watched it, and I was stuck. I couldn't stop.
You're not alone, and Steve Bertrand is. Bertrand has not watched Breaking Bad, which I think makes you ineligible to vote in some elections. I think if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, then you don't get to vote. But don't hold me to that.
I feel like it's right up Bertrand's alley, too.
I know. I'm a little surprised at him. He's funny that way.
Mm-hmm.
708, Downton Abbey. Yep, you can't go wrong with that one. John, binge The Magicians. It is amazing. John, I would binge watch all of the Marvel Avengers movies in order. Yeah, you're either one of those people or you're not. I'm getting a lot of texts for Avengers type stuff. And if that's your cup of tea, have at it. You have at it, boy. But that is not where I go when I want to watch some television. I have been watching a lot of movies lately that I have seen before, and they're comfortable to me, so I just watch them again.
I've been doing that, too. There's so much I want to watch, but I don't know why, because some of these streaming, they have these movies readily available, and they're free, and I don't have to pay for them. But I watched a couple movies the other night that I had probably seen already 5 or 6 times each. Threw The Wrestler on with Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Oscar snub. Should have won that year.
What else did you watch?
What did I watch? I've watched Jaws multiple times. Jaws is like my go-to movie.
Wow. That holds up for you, huh?
Jaws? Oh, I love it.
Watched Moon Man last night.
My list. First Man?
First Man.
Yeah, with Gosling?
Moon Man. I watched First Man about the moonshots, and wow, is that good.
That's what I hear.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, here's the one thing I'll just say about this. About Moon Man. Or what do they call this thing again?
First Man.
You're going to have to spot me on that.
Yeah, I got you.
First Man. They get in those Gemini and Apollo rockets, and we blasted them off into space and to the moon. And you know this, but you never have had such a visceral feeling about what it was like inside the capsule. And I'm telling you, those things were tin cans. They were tin cans. They rattled, and things are bouncing around when they're lifting off. And it's just like, you just hope that thing held together, let alone worked.
Ro told me the exact same thing you just did. The creaking, and kind of like what we hear right now during our deep freeze. It's probably how space is, where you're hearing buildings creaking.
Right, imagine that, and you're sending a million right. pounds of explosives, and your house is creaking, and at any moment it could go kaplowy. Wow. Very, very good. And so unsentimental. You know, afterwards, I turned to my son. I said, I would not have thought twice about bitching about there not being an American flag prominently displayed in some scenes in First Man. But doggone it, it was unsentimental about patriotism. It was unsentimental about Neil Armstrong's relationship with his wife and his relationship with his kids. I mean, it was tough for that family. It was tough for the men at NASA. And they were happy to have accomplished it, and you get that. But it's not a soaring music with Americans did it. If anything, humanity did it. But it's unsparing in how reserved it is. It's not a feel good movie, but it's a really good movie. I'll say that. You know, like there are moments where they land on the moon. And they just kind of look at each other and smile, like, oh, okay, we got this, you know. And then when they step down on the surface of the moon and take the first steps, you get a sense of how important and historic and ginger that first step was. But the music doesn't swell. Oh, it doesn't. It's not that movie. First Man.
It's on my list. I watched The Big Lebowski again last night for about the 800th time. I think seeing him in the commercial, did you see the new commercial he's in?
Yeah.
Him and Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I was scrolling through Netflix. I'm like, I'm going to put the dude on.
Really, if right now you need to just go to a good warm spot, I don't blame you for that. If that's your movie. John Outlander. Oh, my gosh. Do we love Outlander at my house? And by that, I mean, do Daisy and Brenda love Outlander at my house? And I live with them. Channel Zero, Candle Cove series will freak you out, John. 312, this is the best text of all, and we've been doing this at my house a lot as well. I binge listening to WGN Radio. Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio News.
Hey, how are you?
So what time did you get here this morning?
About 5:45-ish.
What was the coldest it was outdoors when you were doing your experiments today?
It was 23 below zero.
So what did you do outside this day?
Yeah, we had some fun. It's the only thing to keep you from crying, right? We played with water, we played with food, and we saw what happened in these temperatures.
I like that you took the Mylar balloons outside.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a balloon at home, and I'm like, you know what? Let's give this a shot. It had helium in it, so it was...
All of these are separate videos posted to WGN Radio's Twitter account, among other. They may be on our website as well, but if you follow us on Twitter, WGN Radio, you'll see a string of separate videos. So the Mylar balloon, where you go out, they collapse, then you go in, and they reinflate.
Blow back up again, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
You do the water thing where you toss the hot water in the air, mm-hmm. which I've done before with a cup, but you did it with the bucket.
Yeah.
And that's really good.
Yeah, yeah, you can really see the smoke and ice crystals kind of come out.
You did the squirt gun.
Did the squirt gun, yeah.
Did you do bubbles?
We tried bubbles. The problem was it was so windy out there, we couldn't get a good bubble. And then once the bubble left, it just flew away. So we so what we tried to do is we tried to blow the bubble inside and bring it outside. And that was getting through the rotating door. And it was a mess.
This is a serious newsman.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to blow bubbles outside. What was the other thing?
Banana. We froze a banana outside. And you can hear, I mean, it's like a
hammer.
Thunk, thunk, thunk. Yeah, it's. And then we took two eggs, we cracked one of them and put it on a plate, and it froze like that.
Oh, really?
The other one we didn't crack. We just left it, and it cracked itself because it was just too darn cold.
How long does that take?
I think about 10 to 15 minutes was about the time we saw for that to really make a difference.
It's fun with science or the weather with Ryan Burrow and the WGN Radio News Twitter account. WGN Radio.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to pass along
about? I think that this is the fun part, but tomorrow's not going to be the fun part.
Tomorrow won't be. Tonight won't be. Dangerous. Take it seriously. And then, wow, look at the upcoming forecast or the forecast. We've got
40 degrees is going to feel like Honolulu.
Oh my gosh. Well, here it is. Friday 22, Saturday 42, Sunday 50, Monday 53. Okay, buddy, WGNRadio.com. On Twitter, WGN Radio. You can follow Ryan's fun videos. Thank you for
Thank
doing
you.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for going into harm's way when some of us wouldn't.
I'll send you the hospital bill.
Studio A time, Ro Khan, Anna DeVlantis. What's going on, campers?
Hi there, John.
Hey.
Well, what's going on? We've got to talk about this crazy, crazy cold weather and all the events. Keep people posted on what's going on. Of course, we'll talk to Tom Skilling, the man of the hour, to update us on
We have the most important weather forecaster in the world.
Absolutely.
And why wouldn't we be talking to him every 5 minutes on this show?
With record-breaking situation.
He probably is the most revered, loved, and respected weatherman in the world.
He probably is. Seriously, I mean,
because he's on the Superstation at 2, as well as a fixture in the Midwest in WGN.
People know him everywhere, and then he's connected to the scientific community as well. And
just,
it's great to have him participate.
Be a part of us. All right. I will say, though, and I'm a little freaked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not...
Goes without saying.
Not right. Just go without saying. But this is not zero.
No. No. It's very different.
Brokan says this is not zero.
This is not zero. There is a distinctive difference between this and zero.
Did you notice that when you went outside for the first time this morning?
Yeah.
I did.
I thought, I want to see what this is.
I felt like my neighborhood looked like one of those post-apocalyptic movies where you saw signs of humankind, but you really didn't see any humans. Even the dog walkers that I usually see and the people walk, I didn't even see them.
Yeah, but
there was nobody.
The commute today was a breeze. It was wonderful.
But it's like Omega Man. It's like the last person on Earth or whatever that.
Right.
What was that Will Smith movie, right? They were doing the same thing?
Yes. Yeah. Did remind me of that. Exactly.
All right. So that's story A today and probably B as well.
Oh, and Gary Chico's going to join us. And we also have there's a sit down with Richard Dreyfuss that I think you're going to want to listen to.
Yeah, he's what's the theater that he's making an appearance at on Thursday?
Yeah, the Tivoli.
Yeah, cool.
Exactly. So a lot going on here, John Williams.
I will be listening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.